Welcome to LeagueCast. Hello and welcome to episode 593 of the LeagueCast podcast. I am Nick Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Rockarts.
Yo, what's good?
And Colton Sweat.
Happy Tuesday, Nicholas.
Happy Tuesday indeed. And on this week, we're going to be hearing about one new patron. A pretty interesting amount of LeagueCast news. A new tournament. There's no new news. We're going to get a big patch next week, I'm sure. So we're here from NordVPN. Probably have a little guaranteed guffaw / bi-weekly discussion and then move into roundtable and mail fight. But first, Aiden, how was your week?
Good. I'm good at League of Legends, I guess.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You're so good at League of Legends.
I got my main up to 200 LP.
Woo.
I got it up to 200 LP without losing a game too, which was cool. And then I lost some games. But I'm still above 200 LP. The game keeps putting me fucking support though. Like the role is easy to secondary role, but like fuck man, I played four games of support in a row with like top as my primary.
That's crazy because I played a little bit this week and I got 80 carry more than I ever have this entire season. That's my secondary.
Yeah, you don't queue support secondary.
I'm sorry. I got 80 carry. Even though that's my secondary role, like, so often.
Oh, I feel like no one plays AD carry. I feel like that's not crazy.
Ah, okay. Maybe I should change that.
just make it mid. Like, every other person.
It's weird that, like, everybody has to do mid. Like, I feel like it's definitely jungle is the most often where it's like, if you put jungle secondary, you're going to get jungle more than your primary. And then, like, support, and then probably, like, bot top mid. Because like as bad as top is, a lot of people play top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's way more popular at lower elos too. Like it goes down like a lot as you get up ranks. From up to like gold is like the most popular role.
Uh huh. It's wild. How was ranked for you, Nick and Aiden? Well, Aiden, you already told us.
I'll talk about mine later.
Yeah, my rank was good, though. I play Tahm Kench, and then I started building Heartsteel because Freak told me that I have to build Heartsteel because he said that it's a scale. It's going to be a scaling buff for Tahm Kench when they, like, change him. So, like, I have to build Heartsteel because all the fucking iron to support Tahm Kench's build Heartsteel. That was the only thing that, like, actually made me mad. Like, the rest of it, like the reality is the guy deals with enough shit that fucking he can put an arrow through my character if he wants. But, like, dude, when someone asked him, like, oh, like, is this, like, a change for support Tahm Kench? And there's, like, it's, like, a 10 comment chain. And the gist of what he's saying is that, well, like, the majority of Tahm Kench support players build Heartsteel with Grasp. So this should be a buff for them. And it's, like, no. I mean, 70% of Iron Tahm Kench supports build Heartsteel and 60% of them take Grasp, but then that number goes down to like 5% of them taking Grasp at like Masters. Fuck, man.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like, maybe you could take it into melee matchups, right?
No, it's just fucking bad. Like,
yeah, but why are you ever like not taking a better mythic?
Yeah, even like or the stuff about like top lane, like. Yeah, Heartsteel is the most popular item. Even in like high elo, it's still the most popular item. Every single like good Tahm Kench player, not every single one. There's one good Tahm Kench player who goes Heartsteel, and every single other one like goes Virtue, Jack Cho, Evan Shroud, like any other item. Because Heartsteel is like a very niche item, what you can build it in, and especially when like based on team comps, if they pick Kog'Maw or Vayne or whatever,
you just can't
build fucking Heartsteel. People still build it because it'll just autopilot. But anyway, so like I can even understand him like arguing like that, like, oh, it's like performs well and also this is a good way to change him or whatever. But like it's just so sad going like, oh, this character has like four mythics you could build. You can even build like Rod of Ages, Proto Belt, like there's like a lot of other like niche ones that you could build. And now it goes, well, if you don't build Heartsteel, your character is turbo nerfed. So I'm a little upset about that. But it's okay because I believe in the balance team to eventually give us a top lane change,
and it's fine because your character's super strong. I mean, mm-hmm.
If you sort by only me playing the game, it's a really high
D2 plus Tom Kench top players. It's like 54%.
Yeah.
That's so funny, actually.
Just all my games.
Do you know what do you know what the sample size is by?
It was 180 games, I think. Yeah.
Okay, and you've played a decent amount.
Yeah, I've probably played like 30 of those, but
yeah. And then when I sorted it to Masters Plus, it was like 60. And I'm like, literally half of these are Aiden, which is
and half of me are the
so
fucking
funny.
GM guy.
Yeah.
Cool. But yeah, that's kind of like all my solo queue news. It was fun though. Still playing a lot. I can't get my Smurf to bastard here. I'm having this issue where I failed 6 series now on my Smurf.
Six.
I play my warm up game on it. Series. So it's not like I'm playing like perfect. I play my warm up game and then go play my main. So like I'm warming up during it. And I'm also still playing in like Master 500 games because of the MMR. But like it's just funny, dude. My main's sitting 200 points Master playing in like 500 point games, and my Smurf sitting in D1 playing in like 400 point games.
See, and that's why you shouldn't make new accounts, everybody.
Yeah. It's funny.
So you shouldn't perpetually dodge series and decay down.
Yeah. And I think that's all for like League of Legends news. Some other like League Cast news that we'll get to in a bit though.
Yeah.
What about you, Nick?
Colton?
Or Colton?
Or I'll go. I also played some League. I'm trying to get back into it a little bit since the end of the ranked split is coming up. And I would like to be Masters at that point in time. I'm currently D1 70 points, so it's been going pretty well. I think I played 6-7 games. I played 7 games and went 2 losses, 5 wins, so it's been going pretty well. Been checking out new Rell. She's very good. She is also just very, very similar to old Rell, which was also obscenely good. It's funny how long Rell has been like over 53% win rate and just nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's been over 53% win rate for like 6 months, honestly.
Yeah, it's weird though, because like I don't feel like she's been OP, if that makes sense.
She's just like a super low play rate character. She was like, yeah. She was definitely OP before the rework. Like, she was just being abused by people who wanted to play her. Like, actually just like good in pro play too. And then they reworked her, and then she just became even stronger.
Yeah. So yeah, there's definitely some like little things that like you can't do anymore because of the E change, which like I think defensively it's just so iffy, because like sometimes having the old E would be better and sometimes the new just Q stun is better. But it's been pretty fun. She's very strong. And you can kind of int because she's an engage support, so it doesn't really matter as long as you CC something.
The funniest thing is she's getting jungle buffs next patch.
Oh, yay. That's
very, very exciting.
They're
nerfing
her support and buffing her jungle, yeah.
I can't fucking believe they're buffing her jungle.
I don't know why. Like, okay, they didn't hit her too hard, but, like, she's still, like, 47% is, like, this goofy support jungler. Like, it's not awful.
Yeah, but everybody needs to have a strong potential in the jungle. I mean, I guess I kind of like... Like if you think about the game as a whole, like having the ability for every character to have like 2 good roles, like I don't think that that's a bad thing to strive for. But I also think it's like a lot of characters really just should be the one role. Like, sure, you can build a world where like Soraka or Yumi are viable like mid or top or something, but like it's not really necessary.
I don't know. I feel like there's like, obviously there should be characters that can flex. I think like Karma's probably the, like historically the best example of it. But I think it's a bad idea if every character had 2 roles. I think draft then just becomes like, at least in pro play, like just whoever has last pick. Right. Cause then you just counter pick, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is really tough. Yeah. Cause like, it feels sometimes like bad if a character can like only at all be played in a single way.
Yeah.
And I think that typically like the secondary like should be very weak. Like it should be probably like a 46, 47% option, but like if you want to, you can do it. Like, you can have fun. You probably shouldn't do it in ranked, right? Like, I can play Kindred mid, not nearly as good as her jungle. I can play Kindred bottom, not nearly as good as her jungle. But, like, those should be playable but not good, I guess, is my thought.
Yeah, I guess, like, playable to me, I mean, or bad would be, like, I don't know, like, 40%. But,
That's anyway, okay. Semantics. So yeah, that's been my week of League of Legends. I've also been playing two new video games that aren't League of Legends, which is normally more new games than I pick up in a year. So I've been playing Halls of Torment, which is like a roguelike dungeon crawler, very similar to Vampire Survivors. And then a card game called Roguebook, another roguelike game. You draft cards and explore a little map. It's kind of like For the King plus Slay the Spire.
Oh, daring. You're today.
Like a deck builder dungeon crawler. You ever heard about that?
What are you doing that, like, one, Nathan?
Just thinking.
What kind of game is that?
I like what I like, and I'm going to play it. Fair enough. So I've been playing a lot of those. It's been a lot of fun. And it's outside of that. It's been hot as fuck in Texas, and that's not fun. But, you know, the burning flames of the Texas heat aren't nearly as unbearable as the hell of top lane. So Aiden's been living through worse. Nick, how
I don't know.
Your...
Kind of seem Aiden. It kind of seems like you don't have to try for wins.
I don't. Just, that's just literally turbo, just fucking zero impact.
You just turbo sprinted every game, and you're guaranteed to get a win. That's the Colton special.
It's so true. Yeah, I don't know how you took that from me. But eventually we'll all merge and become the same player.
I hope not.
Nick, how's your week? What you been up to?
I don't know if I talked about it last week. I guess I should talk about League first. I played a couple ranked games, almost decayed, but I didn't. I think I am down 19 LP from where I was last week. But I think overall, like, I'm playing pretty well. I don't feel like I'm playing much worse after taking a very long break from ranked, which maybe is kind of a testament to how poorly I was playing before the break. But just hoping that I also could end master. That would be pretty cool if the three of us did.
You're 61 points right now. Yeah, you're 61. The lowest rank here.
I am.
You've taken my spot, Nick.
I have been dedicating most of my time in such a poor choice of of my life. Poor choice of my time to level an account. So that's been primarily where my league time has gone. And I just hit level 28. Boy howdy, what a mistake this is. I hope to never do it again.
I've hand leveled like 2.5 accounts. It's not pleasant.
It's just garbage. Like,
it's wild how much fucking time you have to invest.
Riot is really lucky that, like, there are a lot of players who bought in early, because leveling in this game fucking sucks. Like, maybe it's different when you're, like, a brand new player, and you still have the excitement of, like, whoa, what does Gragas do? He looks cool.
I don't know. So often in video games do I feel like the progression is, like, too slow, and it's like, for the first, like, maybe 20%, you're like, okay, this is cool, this is new, I'm figuring it out, I'm learning what stuff does. And then the next 80% is you're just like, okay, I understand what all this stuff is and what it does, and I just need to acquire it to be able to actually play the game. And I'm not playing the game anymore to have fun, I'm just playing it to be able to play it a month from now.
League 13 years ago at this point was a little bit different, considering they were releasing new characters every two weeks, which, considering our listeners are probably newer, it was a fucking wild time. But yeah, no, I agree with you. It does feel a little slow. So, two more levels, hoping to get my first win of the day bonuses, and that'll be plenty to get me to 30, but who knows? I also don't think I have enough blue essence yet to buy every character that's in our pool. I certainly don't have enough to buy them and also have some on standby for, hey, today is a collie day, you know, in terms of win rate.
So it's just
so funny that, like, at this point, I think, Aiden, you did the math, and it's going to take, like, probably 200 ARM games, which, like, okay, haha, ARMs, but
it'd be like 150 Summoner's Rift, though. Like,
it's the only way I can actually get a playable game, considering, I don't know, it takes me probably 20 minutes to get into a Summoner's Rift game,
yeah,
only for it to last 15 minutes. The opposite side of that would be, oh, I can spend $3 and have an account with more essence than,
yeah,
than I have handle leveling an account.
I just spend 100 hours leveling an account,
yeah,
where I can afford 18 champions.
I can afford fewer characters, and it was a nightmare. You know, the benefit is, like, it's not going to get banned for being bot leveled.
Just when you say slur as fuck.
Which, is there a contingency just in case something happens?
What do you mean?
In terms of someone's account.
Oh, if
we were to lose
Aiden and I's hand-leveled accounts botting. That we're going
to
be using?
I'm fucking buying my account. I would recommend anyone, if you ever want a League of Legends account, to buy one, by the way.
Yeah, honestly, same. I agree.
But, you know, if I feel like it's banned, I'll just, like, start over, or I'll, like, say wherever I was like, a good enough peak, and I'll be happy with it. I'm not too worried.
Gotcha. Not that I think that's a serious concern. I'm sure Riot doesn't care.
Yeah.
So, I think that's it for League. So I guess I can talk about some other stuff that'll be more fun for me. I don't know if I mentioned this. When was June 2nd? Oh, it was a while ago. But I watched the new Spider-Man. Did I mention it?
You mentioned it last week for sure, but I don't remember, like, what else you mentioned or not.
Okay. Spider-Man good. I'll say that. Spider-Man good. Yeah. I finished Ghost of Tsushima this week, and I think that game is very good. I feel like I should, like, me personally should have enjoyed it more. Like, that environment was super cool. The setting is really awesome. I felt like a lot of the stories were really compelling to actually do as a side quest, but I just, like, couldn't get into playing more. At some point I was just like, all right, I want to finish the main story, and then I want to uninstall the game. Like, I'm done. But I don't really know why. But good game. I liked it. I think, I don't know if, I don't know if I've already mentioned this conversation. I think I said 8 out of 10. So pretty solid. I would recommend it. And I think that's it. Moving on to Hollow Knight. I tried Dragon Ball Z Kakarot and got like 4 minutes in, and then I was like, this kind of sucks so far. So then I will be trying Hollow Knight, which is a game that I also put down at the very, very start. But I've given it another try. So I think that's it. We can get into the show now. Sorry for making everyone listen to not League of Legends. I know we hate that. So cool. First up, we have one new patron. It's Zill. Thank you for supporting us. Aiden, tell us about some LeagueCast news.
Tournament this weekend on Saturday. Signups are closed, but you can come Potters. Watch. It's a random tournament where teams get random characters and they have to duke it out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
What time?
Number one. 4 p.m. EST.
4 p.m. EST. Pog, pog, pog. Be there pog, or be pog, square. Pog.
Other things. Episode 600 is coming up. I'm starting to prepare fun stuff. So be ready for that. It'll be fun. And then I guess I might, I don't know. I still need to gauge interest in this. I still, part of me wants to, there was a lot of interest, but it's also a lot of work. I still want to do that, like, master student thing that I was, like, talking about, like, mm-hmm. a couple months back. For those who don't remember, it was the thing where, because there's two splits, it's a very easy way to judge, like, hey, you finished X split, X rank this split, and then next split, you might finish higher. So my idea was, people in our Discord could sign up to be either masters or students, and masters would be, like, plat plus players, and students would be, like, obviously, like, gold below players. And you'd be paired up with, like, a student would be paired up with a master, and then you would like just like work together. Like it wouldn't be like actual like coaching or whatever. I'm not fucking saying these people need to like spend hours like VOD reviewing you and stuff like that, but like you guys can figure something out, like whether it's like just chatting, ask them questions, maybe every once in a while they'll look over a game for you. And I think that'd be like a cool way to like get engagement in our Discord. Obviously, the one thing that I'm worried about is that there's some people who will take it more seriously, and there's some people who will take it less seriously, and I don't want to be in the crossfire of like people being like, my platinum player who's not getting paid to teach me is not teaching me as much as I would like. So that's what I'm only worried about, but I also am starting to think like maybe that downside isn't like enough of a downside to like not put it together. So I don't know. Yeah, maybe like let me know what you guys think.
Maybe we could have some backups.
But yeah, I mean, what I was thinking about doing is there's going to be like way more like, gold students. Below players. So I was thinking like people like, higher rank players could take up to 3 people to like look after depending on what they want. And then they can say if they want like only AD carry players, only like certain, whatever role players, yada, yada, yada. I'll think it over. If you guys have any feedback, just let me know. But I think it's a good idea. I just also don't want to fucking deal with a bunch of shit if it also could just be like one of those things where like this is like a test round of it and we can see how it goes. And
so I've got an idea, Aiden.
Yes. All
right, cool. So we're like high diamond masters players, right? And if we each get one diamond
every player, single player in our Discord,
if we each get 3 diamond players to give us $1 a month to coach them, and then they each get 3 platinum players, and each of those platinum players each get a gold player, and then they all charge $1, but it all funnels back up to us. Does that sound like a good plan?
That sounds like a lot of money. What, like, how would you, if you were going to draw this on like a graph, like,
yeah, how would you describe the shape of this?
Yeah.
I would kind of describe it like a funnel, but like with flatter sides, so maybe like a pyramid.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. That's cool.
And it'd be like a pyramid plan, right?
Yeah. And we're at the top because we came up with it.
I mean, obviously, yeah.
It's hard. Yeah. I like the pyramid plan. That's cool.
And we're helping them. This is for them, not for us, because they're going to get better at League. Mm-hmm.
Only other thing I was thinking about doing, I feel like we've, like, you know how, like, there's the statistic, like, every, like, 6 months or whatever, like, half your audience will be, like, a different audience or whatever.
That's crazy. But,
or it's, like, I'm sure it, like, varies based on size. I've heard that before. I'm not sure how true it is. But, like, people rotate in and out. So people probably don't know about this, but, like... I don't know, 6 years ago, maybe? It was when Yasuo was released, or Yone. It was when Yone was released. So not Yasuo. So, like, Lilia Yone time. So, like, 5 years ago, maybe? I did this tournament where it was a 1v1 tournament, and every single person had their main character. And when I say they have their main character, there was 100 and... How many characters were in the game at the time? Whatever, Yone release.
Like 150-ish.
So, like, there's only 1 Yone player in the tournament. And then there's 1 Tahm Kench player in the tournament. And there's 1 Orianna player in the tournament. And it was 1v1 tournament to see which main is the best. And people signed up by, like, submitting their 3 main characters along with their mastery, like, scores on them. And that's how it was determined what character you'd get. And I'm considering doing that again. It was, like, a lot of work, but it was also pretty fun, I think. Also, especially just like determining who gets what character is also pretty fun. So if there's any interest in that as well, just like let me know. I'm just trying to like think of like fun stuff to do over the next like couple months. So I think that might be cool.
It is unfathomable to me that was that long ago.
Well, when did Yone get released?
Can't be.
I feel like I it must say have 5 been years like, ago is my guess, but
no, I think Yone was like,
he's 3 and a half. No, he's 3 years. He's 3 years ago. He's 3 years ago. I did it. I started on Yone release day. I know that.
Okay.
But so it was 3 years ago. So that might be. I mean, that's still wild. Again.
Yone was like a new champion, I think, to all of us. I'm sure there are 2020s, older.
Yeah, three years basically.
I think there are a lot of older characters that are new to us as well. Like, you remember them being released, and you're like, "Huh, this character is brand new."
Yeah, it's crazy. But anyways, that might be a fun thing to do again. It was like also a little bit hands off because it's not like it took place all in the same day. It took place like every week you'd have to play like your 1 or 2 games and you just schedule them yourself against the person. So if people are interested in that, I might also put that together. It takes a while, but I'll probably put it together like on the day of a release character again because that was really funny. Someone's signing up to be like the Yone main when they haven't played a single game of Yone.
That's so funny, actually. I didn't realize that was the first day.
Yeah.
It's one thing I find hilarious, like jumping back to like Yone being 3 years old and like us thinking of him as a new character, right? Because like all of us have played the game at this point for 13, 14 years. So like we played the game for 11 years before Yone came out. And, like, that's weird to think about. To me, that's weirder, right? Is yeah. like, yeah. I played 11 years of League of Legends without Yone in the game.
And that was the last time Colton was ever happy playing
this. That was the last time game. I was happy. No, the last time I was happy was before installed League of Legends.
Oh, I see. That's funny.
So true.
Cool. But yeah, I might do that. It might be a lot of fun. And that's kind of all my news. Just like, let me know what people are feeling on those. Give me some feelers. I also still want to do like lots of like little mini tournaments. Like I want to do like Howling Abyss, like 1v1 tournaments and stuff like that as well. But those will just come normally.
Hell yeah. And we're banning Guardian Horn.
Yeah.
cool. Awesome. Yeah. Should we, I guess we don't have any news. So do we want to hear from Nord?
We can hear from Nord. Yeah,
let's hear from our friends.
We do a bit of Nording.
Do a little Nord, get your Nord on. Hey, it's NordVPN. They provide the highest quality encryption and protection for your web traffic. They stop people from looking at your IP address, your physical location, your ISP, all that stuff gets covered up and protected by NordVPN's super great product. You can also use it to connect to servers all across the country or in different countries. If you need to get access to content that's not available in your country, if you're just trying to be extra super sneaky, if you're worried that the guy who added you after your league game is trying to find you IRL, NordVPN's got you covered. And you can get their product at our exclusive link at nordvpn.com/leaguecast. You're going to get a bonus month on a 2-year plan as well as a discount. And all of that is backed by Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. If for whatever reason you decide you don't want it anymore, you can get your money back. No issues, no hassle. Again, nordvpn.com/leaguecast. And you're going to get that bonus month for free on a 2-year plan. One last time, that link for our listeners, nordvpn.com/leaguecast.
Thanks, oh, yeah. Nord. Thank you, Colton. Thank you, Nord. Aiden, what you got cooked up for us?
I found out the guy who played Yone.
Jesus, Aiden, I fucking love this bi-weekly discussion title in our notes doc. We're gonna peel back the curtain a little bit for our listeners. We have a little doc where we keep our notes in and plan out the show. And under this discussion, it just says, Aiden, in all caps, I have a couple if we want to shoot this shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man's cooked up some conversation topics.
I just want to quickly say, I looked up like who the Yone was in our last tournament, mm-hmm. right?
Never played Yone again.
I'm gonna bleep this anyways. I'm not gonna bleep it. I'll just like make it so that, like, I'm not gonna bleep noises are annoying when you're like listening to a podcast. So I'm just gonna like silence it. But the guy who played Yone, he's this guy named and I recently removed him off my friends list because he changed his account name to I.
Oh my god.
So I'm gonna bleep that out, but
yeah.
I'm like, huh, that name sounds familiar, and I was trying to figure out why.
Yikes. Okay. I'm like, huh.
That's a cringe thing to do. So
yeah, no kidding. Jesus. So, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Small world.
Yeah, small world, I guess.
Surprised he's not like a Draven main.
Christ. I'm like, damn, that guy probably is 16. But anyways, cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our random topics and stuff. I have a couple different things. I'll give you three. Maybe we can like choose two of them to like pick from or whatever, right? So the first one is the Baus released a solo queue guide a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure if you guys have seen it, but I want to talk about some specifics from there because I think there's some cool information in it. That's a cool one. The next one would be TFT. This is TFT related, but I think we can transition to a league discussion. Is I think later this month, at the end of the month, is removing StatSite's ability to check augment win rates and like the legend win rates. So I'm wondering how A, that's going to translate in TFT, and then B, could League of Legends do something like that where like maybe they don't remove all the like, you don't remove like champion win rate data from like sites, but you remove like best item build win rates and stuff like that, right? Like some stuff to like obscure stuff, so like you're not constantly just like perma. Like you have to think about the game, right? You don't just look everything up. And then the third one is a discussion on add-ons in League, because I've seen a ton of discussion about like how there should be zero add-ons in League at all, which I mean, that's not where I fall in the whole discussion, but I think there's a discussion to be had on, like, are add-ons good? Should we see more of them? Should we see less of them or none of them? Or should Riot be implementing the things from these add-ons, right? And, like, where's the line of, like, how much should mm-hmm. add-ons do and stuff like that, right? How much does it actually augment your gameplay?
Yeah. You know, honestly, we could probably talk about all of these to some extent.
Sure.
We're only half an hour in, so.
I'm super down.
Let's fucking do it.
Let's
do it.
Let's just start at the beginning.
Cool. Want to talk at the Baus one first?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if you guys have seen the video. It's
yes,
like a 30-minute video. I would recommend
anyone
like
38 go or something.
Mm-hmm. Watch it. Especially, like, you don't have to watch the entire thing. Especially, like, a lot of it's, like, how his specific strats work. Like, he actually explains how to play, like, top Rammus, top Sion, stuff like that. But the interesting parts about it, in my opinion, were the mechanics that he employs based on how League of Legends functions, right? So, like, why inting Sion works, things that you can abuse in solo queue. Like, stuff like that I found very, very interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a really good starting point. And honestly, in the context of him as a player, it may be good to watch the video to understand, like, why he, like, averages such high deaths. Because I think, like, if you don't watch any of his content or haven't watched this guide and you have an opinion on him, it's probably a little uninformed. But this is definitely a good, like, starting point.
I completely agree.
As someone who has not seen the video and, like, is fringe adjacent with the boss, like, I know of him, I know of the strats, but, like, I haven't really watched any of his content, like, mm-hmm. high level, like, because obviously it works to a level, and, like, the man knows what he's doing. Like, what's the secret sauce? Why does it work?
Yeah, so a lot of it comes down to, like, how the bounty system and how gold works in League of Legends. I would say that's, like, the basis of most of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the way he, like, thinks about the game is that there's a lot of gold locked up in tower plates, right? And one thing that I would say most people in League of Legends don't know is that tower gold, like, from plates...
Hang on. Colton, do you... If you were, like, maybe it just got spoiled for you, but if you were to think about the bounty system and how that functions, would you imagine that the gold that you get from tower plates would be included in that bounty, like, calculation?
Like, I think I would imagine it does. Like, if the question is, like, I know you get bounties if, like, you know, like, if the other team is, like, super ahead of you, so, like, let's say they have 10,000 more gold than you. Mm-hmm. And so I would think that when calculating how much gold a team has, that gold gained from any source, including tower plates, would count.
You would be incorrect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if it's just plates in general or if it's full towers themselves. I definitely know plates don't count uh-huh. towards bounties. I don't think he actually explains if towers do. But the gist of it is, like, if you get all 15 plates, you can be the most, like, ahead in the game gold wise, and you will never have a bounty, right? Because that mm-hmm. like gold doesn't account for your bounty level. So he like has clips in the video where he's like 1 in 9 in this clip, right? He's up 1,000 gold on his laner. He's 1 in 9. And it's just like his laner has a fucking like 400 gold bounty on his head. And he's worth like Sion is worth like 50 gold in this scenario, right? So he's worth 50 gold, has more gold, and his laner has a bounty. Like, mm-hmm. So it's just the whole point of it is that you can abuse systems like this where if you int, as long as you're getting the wave, getting the experience, getting this free gold that doesn't equate for your bounty system, you're just offsetting the entire game dynamics to a point where, like, you're worth nothing, you have nothing to lose, and you have everything to gain. And you're not behind mm-hmm. either.
Yeah, so I think the biggest takeaway, like, the biggest, I don't know, big picture summary, is that, like, if you look at the game through the lens of, like, every single thing that you do is going to have, like, it's going to have an opportunity cost. And if you're able to, like, evaluate that opportunity cost at a, like, super high level the way that he does, then dying sometimes is better because you're, like, the cost of your action is lower than the benefit that you get.
Mm-hmm. the next point that he leads into is about death timers, right? So it's like why he like purposely like kills himself like early, and it's like death timers in this game are fucking crazy. So they go from 6 to, this is the time for like respawn, it's 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, very normal, and then 21, 28, like, are the next two, and then it goes back to going up by two, but 30, 32.
And so that's like, at 9 and 10?
6 and 7.
6 and 7, okay.
6 and 7 are, like, a huge jump. It's 5 seconds, and then another, sorry, it's 5 seconds, yeah, then another 7 seconds on it. Those are, like, the only two big jumps in the game for, like, all death timers. So, like, you're trying to mismatch your death timer. You're supposed to, like, try to int on, like, level 1 through 5, because those are the times that you can get back to lane without, like, being punished as hard, right? So it's like there's these mechanics in the game that no one, I really do believe this, no one else thinks about to the degree that he thinks about the game, which allows him to employ his style so well. I guess the next big thing that he touches on that I think is also really, really cool, in these like low like econ lanes, so he's obviously weak as fuck when he's like inting, like purposely running it down to trying to get tower. So he talks about mismatching tempo a lot. I've started doing this a little bit. My game is pretty fucking hard to wrap your head around. But the whole idea is that you want to be in lane when your opponent isn't, right? When you're behind in the game, your best case scenario is you're in lane, you push out the wave, push out a second wave if you can, reset, they push in the wave, they push out a second wave, they reset, so you're just constantly off time. If they're not, if they're in lane in a 1v0 when they're ahead, that's so fucking bad for
them. Yeah.
I don't know, it's just like, there's all these like little things in this video that are just like brilliant ideas that I don't think I've ever seen anyone else talk about in like League of Legends.
Yeah, just because it's really hard to, right? Because I think the core of it is that dying is bad to literally everyone except for him, right? In his mentality, like dying can be a good thing. You know, you give your opponent 300 gold, but you've gained, you know, 400 or 450 from a shutdown. Suddenly, like that, it's an easy trade to make, and you just do that on a macro scale throughout the entire game, and you just have like such a huge lead.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I still don't know if I fully agree with that he like talks about a lot, but I think it's brilliant. Again, is he talks about how like the general narrative when you're behind is play safe, don't feed anymore, like just make sure that you like just farm up and like scale late game. And his whole point is that no, when you are behind, you have that small little negative gold bounty, so he's worth like 50 gold, 70 gold, whatever. You should be the one trying to make as big of plays as possible, right? Because the amount of like value that you can get between like, I guess the delta between how much you're worth and what you can get is crazy.
And you know, I agree with that. I think it's obviously like circumstantial. If you're in, you shouldn't be trying to make huge plays, you know, 15 seconds before the Baron when your team's not ready for it, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think that like general mindset is really good. You know, trying to just make opportunities happen to create space for the rest of your team, I think is a really like positive way to look at the game.
Yeah, for sure. I guess the only other thing that I wanted to touch on that he ever like talks about is he talks about it briefly for like 1 minute at the beginning of the video, is about drafting. And I think this is super interesting too. It's something I don't obviously do at all because I'm a fucking one trick. But he talks about like, well, first of all, his is everything rule, where his dream team comp in any game of League of Legends is having a little bit of everything, right? A little bit of CC, a little bit of like damage, a little bit of split, mix damage, like kind of everything you can imagine in team comp, rather than going for like the wombo combo or like all going split or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, like too much magic damage, too much physical damage. He likes to have a good mix of anything. And his job as a top laner, usually I would say most top laners take their spot in the counter pick, right? Like I counter pick my top laner. He will counter pick himself to have to add whatever his team's missing, right? He will counterpick like an AP character to top into a losing matchup because his team has no AP, right? He thinks that matters infinitely more than winning his lane top lane.
Which is definitely a really interesting perspective to have.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the majority of top laners think that like top lane should, I mean, I'd say the majority of players think top lane is the counter pick lane, right? I mean, we always talk about like there's no hard counters in League of Legends, but top lane definitely has a lot of, I think, did you see that post months ago where it was like the top 25 biggest win rate differences for like lanes?
Are they all top lane?
It was like 20 out of the 25 were top lane
that's funny
matchups, right? Because the guy was originally gonna make that just as like the post, like just in general what are like the 10 highest like win rate things, but the top 10 were all top laners, so he had to make like top five for every role, and then he did like a top 25.
That's so funny.
But it's like that's typically how we view the game. But if you do employ all these things, right, you understand how like negative gold bounties work, you understand how to like mismatch your tempo in lane versus like hard lanes that counter you and are ahead, you can pick these and like you can counterpick yourself for the healthier team, and it will just help you climb, right, if you're willing mm-hmm. to play all this stuff. It's just so good, man. Like I do think the way he plays the game is bad for League of Legends, and I think League of Legends should implement ways to stop it. I mean, the reality is fucking turrets and turret bounty, like in turret plates and stuff like that, should fucking count towards your bounty. Like that's a no-brainer.
If I'm not mistaken, they've already addressed that they like will be changing it. I could be wrong about
I feel
that,
like I remember reading that, but this video is from like 2 months ago at this point now. Like maybe in like preseason they'll change it or whatever, but like god, it's so crazy when someone can like solve the fucking code of the game.
It's almost the epitome of like what I have described is hating about like modern gaming, is that it's like so optimized, you know, that it becomes like unfun, and viewing everything you do as like just a plus or minus like is not fun.
Yeah. No, it is super interesting, but definitely like is a hard pill to swallow, but that's how the game's played at the top, so
yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, and it's like you get so many negative reactions when people like play the game differently because of the systems that exist. Mm-hmm. like a lot of people like hate the boss, and I think even like today, Aiden, like you were in the Discord like complaining about the like Senna Yumi players that both get support items.
Yeah, I did.
It sucks because it does work, and it's like as much as like I dislike the players that are doing that, and like I do, it's also like part of the problem is that the system exists in a way that does work. And like
the context for that, by the way, just to give people context, I was watching someone stream, and then he played against this Senna who it was weird because she used Senna carry, but she also had the support item. And then I went back and I looked through their games, and it's the Senna Yumi duo. Sometimes she plays Sona instead of Yumi. They duo bot every single game, and they both go the support item level 1, which just doesn't make sense because neither of them CS. So you're just fucking bleeding 200 gold into your turret every single wave. Mm-hmm. But they fucking win with it.
Yeah, it's just like, a lot. I think they had a 70% win rate.
And they're obviously smurfs. Like I think it's probably pretty mm-hmm. safe to assume. But like it's just gross that like you can literally just bleed like over the course of a 20-minute game, you're bleeding 4,000 gold just into your turret bottom lane, assuming no one else is picking it up, and you can win games. It's like, fuck, that just feels like the game is played wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But hell yeah.
Cool. Do you want to move on to the next one?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do the add-ons in League really quick. This is a discussion I saw like a lot on Reddit like a couple weeks ago when I originally wrote it in here. I personally am of the I guess like the context is, so in League of Legends, I would say a lot of players now, maybe not the majority, have used programs like Porofessor, Blitz App, U.GG, OP.GG. There's like a billion of them. I was trying to think of some mm-hmm. other ones that give you add-ons in League of Legends. And these aren't add-ons like that completely break the game. It's only stuff that you can get from the League of Legends API that Riot has approved, right? So it's stuff like tracking summoner spell things. You can click a button, it will like count down their summoner spell timer. Things mm-hmm. like you can have overlays that go on every single jungle camp. So when you kill raptors, you know exactly when they'll spawn, right? Because right now it only shows like a minute before, then 15 seconds before. And then blue buff and red buff are like the full timer. It has stuff like it will give you optimal jungle pathings based on like data. It will tell you which paths you should go. League of Legends has that now, but I think it's kind of janky compared to the overlay ones. My favorite one is on I think it's Blitz App's overlay. There's a thing when you hit tab, it will count up the gold worth of items everyone in the game has. So it will show like, oh, this top laner has 7,000 gold worth of items, and you have 9,000 gold worth of items in your inventory right now. So you have a 2,000 gold advantage based off that, right? Obviously, it can't calculate the gold they have in their pocket or whatever, but it will give you a quick, like, I can hit tab and I can see my team is ahead 4,000 gold worth of items, right? And it's like, there's no way to calculate that in game. I mean, you could just count all the items, but like, no one ever is going to fucking do that. And I'm not saying it's like a huge advantage, but like, it's the fact that this data, it wasn't originally accessible to this degree, and is it too far, right? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of some other like crazy ones that are in games, but I can't think of like any of the other ones, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know either. And I almost feel like that they've done a really good job of limiting like how useful the information it can give you is. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, how useful is knowing that you're up at an item versus your lane opponent or when you can press tap and see it, I guess. But for like super high level play, I'm sure that is like super beneficial to have.
Yeah, it's like none of it's like in itself game breaking, right? Like knowing that your raptors spawn exactly at like a certain time, like that's not game breaking. But if you're not counting that yourself, it might change how you path, right? You might not be pathing towards bottom for when raptors spawn, right? Because you'll only get the notification 1 minute ahead rather than a minute and a half ahead. Stuff like another big one, which once again, you can just ping all your allies' alt timers all the time. They'll fucking think that you're flaming them for picking their alt timers. But like, there's overlays that will constantly show on your mini bar, like above like your character's your allies, what their ultimate cooldown is, right? Like that's kind of big. Like yeah, I can see sure. My fucking Yasuo's ult is up in 3 seconds, so I'm not gonna go for the knockup for 3 seconds for him, like rather than having to tab, see that he's on an ultimate, ping his ultimate, see, look at chat, see that it's up in 3 seconds, then go for it. Like that's kind of important.
Yeah, for sure.
So I guess it's like the discussion is, A, should they be in the game at all? B, if they are in the game, should there be more information accessible or less information? And then C, if we were to ban, sorry, I guess like, are we going to ban them? A, yes or no? And or should Riot implement their own versions of these things, right?
So I don't think they should be banned. But I would like to see, you know, Riot just kind of capture the most popular features and implement them in the vanilla client. I think that's the like best way to do, I don't know, game design, right? Is you just have someone else do it for you, and then if it's popular, you just take it for yourself. And then it leads to a more fair playing field for everyone. I think there was one that was like crazy game breaking that people complained about a while ago that I think got changed or removed or something.
It was the when you if everyone had Porofastar on your team and then you clicked the summoner spell, you could sync it with the other people in your game's timers.
Oh yeah. I guess anecdotally, I've never seen anyone use that ever.
I've never seen it work either, but like people were complaining about it, and obviously it was at least pitched as that working that way.
And it was it's a non-zero thing, right? Just because the players aren't using it doesn't mean it's not super broken if they do, right?
Yeah.
So what were the other options? Are we changing it or are we banning it?
It's more like a slider of like fully banning it, fully allowing it, and increasing what they can do, and then the middle ground is like keeping it as it is, should Riot implement versions of it, yada yada yada.
I think keeping it as it is fine. I think at the end of the day, I would just like to see people have a fair shot across the board. I don't think anyone should win or lose a game because they chose to install a third party program on their League of Legends, like for the League of Legends client. I think that's a little lame.
Yeah. What do you think about like, this is like something that I don't see discussed too much, but I think it's like kind of interesting. I think it's not discussed because it's not perfect data all the time, is when you're loading into games and you have like the overlays that goes, oh, this guy, plays aggressive or whatever. This guy doesn't ward. Like stuff like that, right? Like that's not perfect information, but it is playstyle habits that you could in theory use that you would never know, right? Like that's information that in theory, if you looked up the opponents and then watched their VODs, you could figure that out. But like that doesn't seem like accessible information. I don't think it's like accurate enough that it's a problem. You know what I mean? Like it's not like it's saying the Kindred's aggressive helps me out in my League of Legends game.
Yeah. But
like in theory, if it was more accurate, like if the model, the AI model keeps getting better and they say, oh, this top laner doesn't ward, they ward like 1 in 5 games or whatever, maybe going for a gank top is more viable than going for a gank bottom because it has a higher success rate. Whereas like you wouldn't know that unless the game told you that, right?
Yeah, that's true. I guess
I think the only reason it's okay is because they're not good models.
Because it's right not now. Good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you're right. This is something that I talked about with a friend of mine today. Like AI is like developing crazy quickly,
mm-hmm.
and it's like actually I feel like really scary. The example I always think of is like, I know for a while AI art was like prevalent in a lot of Reddit communities and things like that, but you could always tell it was just a little bit off,
mm-hmm.
and it would always be like the fingers would be like fucked up because it didn't know how to do it. But
yeah,
nowadays like it's just really good. It's scary that it can like move that quick. And if the program can say like, I mean, what if we like take the extreme and say like Tom Kench buys zero pink wards a game and he on average wards between 1 minute and 1 minute 15.
Yeah, like it could even like in theory, if it has a big enough sample size, it could go Tom Kench plays aggressive at 2 to 3 minutes on average. like in
or
theory,
like
that's
this character invades on Jarvan at blue side.
Yeah.
Like it could get ultra specific.
And mm-hmm. it's like, that's where, like, I think if the information ever becomes good, it's problematic, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's a really good way to phrase it. Like, as soon as it's problematic, it's a problem. Like, obviously, but, you know, it's hard to draw that line. Because right now, I think, like, I don't know, plays better on blue side or just came off a tilting loss. Like, it
first time this character. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it
like,
doesn't change much. But yeah, I don't know. It's definitely a difficult like conversation to have a right answer for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's again. Yeah, I don't think there's necessarily like a right answer, and it's tough because like so many of these things are so accessible, and like a lot of them have been built into the game at this point. And I think you know the other times we've had these kind of conversations, I'm generally in favor of just make all of these things more accessible, because none of these tools like are actually really preventable, mm-hmm. in a sustainable way, where like if you want to like jumping back way towards the start of the conversation, like have an application that calculates the gold of all of the people in game and tells you like how much gold their items are worth, like sure you can like block certain things from like accessing the game directly, but like you couldn't stop like if I just had like an account that automatically spectates my game and then like looks at the screen and analyzes it, like
yeah.
mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can do about that. Or if I just have like a person over my shoulder doing the math for me on a little calculator and like telling me, right, like at a certain point, right, like if you go like way back to like when people were fucking tracking timers on a notepad, like
mm-hmm.
you can't stop it from happening, so you might as well just make it available so that again everyone's on the same level, where you know now instead of one player having an advantage, everyone has this asset, and it's just as good for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I completely
kind of my
agree
take on it.
Yeah, I think so they like, should. Sorry, I was just gonna say I was gonna agree with you and say like I think they should implement all the basic things, because I don't think any of these basic things are game breaking. I think if anything, they improve level of play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. it improves decision making. I just don't want it to remove decision making, right? Like I think you knowing that your raptor camp spawns at like in a minute 30 versus not knowing that. I guess there's an argument you could say it removes skill. I think it improves decision making though, right? You can now know that and you can like plan your path for bottom, right? It's not like telling, it's not saying, oh, you should go here right now and do this. Like I think it adds decision making if anything.
Yeah, for jungle camps, I almost mm-hmm. feel like there should just be a timer as soon as you take it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, maybe it shouldn't if it is counter jungled and you have no knowledge mm-hmm. of when it was taken. Maybe then the timer could, I don't know, show up in a minute or something like that. But I feel like as soon as you kill it, like it should just be there.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So I and then like for how this happens, like in a perfect world, which I know this isn't how it would ever actually happen, but like what I would love to see is that these tools be like, tied more into the game so that they're more accessible as like add-ons that like I could get in the League of Legends shop, yeah, almost, right? Because like there are like, you know, so many fucking games have like a huge modding community, and like the games have built to accept that, and like, hey, here's a bunch of common mods that people like to add, like we didn't add it to our game but our community did, like sign up for it and use it. And it's like they're not taking away any of the profits of the company who made the original game, and like 99% of the time those are all like available and supported for free by people who just like the game, right? Yeah. So it's like, let me go into the store and it's like Porofessor cooldown tracker, subscribe, right? Like you know, Mobalytics build optimizer, let me, you know, I want that. Oh, this one that, you know, tracks this tendency, I don't need that one, I don't want that one, like I'm not gonna sign up for it. And like it would be sick if those, you know, creators were like put into the client and maybe saw any kind of revenue, but like obviously Riot's not gonna do that.
Yeah.
But it would be cool for the people that like develop these tools to make League a better game to see some level of financial success outside of like ad revenue on their applications.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just a thing where like I think we're all in agreement that like the basic things should just be implemented by Riot, so like you don't have to go download a third party client, and the game breaking stuff should probably just be denied, right? But we don't really think there's too much game breaking stuff, like really. Like there's stuff that augments how you think about the game, but nothing is like, like there's no AI models. We will eventually be see this, by the way. We're starting to see like pick ban models, by the way, which seem like they're getting pretty good.
That's crazy.
Where like in theory, like League at it with infinite like AI stuff could be like, oh, you should gank here now, right? Like it's during the game telling you what to do, right? That would be bad for the game.
Yeah.
And right now we're seeing stuff where you can enter in all 9 characters in pick ban, say your 10th pick or whatever, and it will tell you like the best,
the highest possible. Yeah. Probably like, based on your own like champion pool too.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, and it's like it's getting really good. And it's like, yeah, that's not going to win you the game, right? That's I guess the counterpoint. Mm-hmm. But like it's definitely removing decision making. Like you're not thinking about that. You're just entering it in, and it tells you this will win you the game like 65% of the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think like if there was like, let's say a tool like that, you know, if we jump back to my hypothetical where like these add-ons are just available in client, right? It's like that one just gets denied. Yeah. And then if you're using it, you're using like a third party like application that's denied, and like you would get, you know, in trouble from Riot for it. And I think that they would have a lot more control that way because the marketplace is hosted by them, right? Mm-hmm. They don't host the marketplace right now. So then like, anyone who wants to do anything can, and it's just a matter of like, do you get caught? And again, most of it just doesn't matter. But like, you know, let's say there's a mod that I can get that like lets me do the Lee Sin insect combo, right? Like super far, and we're like that seriously will impact what's happening in the game, right? Like, hey, maybe that might be a fun thing to like turn on as like just maybe in a custom game or like a normal, but like obviously that would have to be like disabled for ranked or like disallowed entirely. But you know, in the current way it exists, like if I did that, it's just, do they catch me? Maybe. You know,
yeah, it's weird. I guess it can kind of lead us to our next discussion point, where the TFT thing, where this is the first set they've ever done it, where like all the TFT websites are no longer going to have API access to specifically the augment win rates. And this set, there's like legends that you can pick that kind of like augment like how the game goes and stuff like that. They're going to also remove the win rates for those going into next patch, I believe. So this is interesting. So there still is going to be win rates. Like you can still like go to those websites and it'll show you like the best like boards and stuff to play. But no longer are you going to be able to be like, oh, this is the optimal augment for me to take here because it has the highest win rate and top 4%. And I'm wondering, A, how do we think about that in TFT? I know, Nick, you don't play too much TFT. Colton, you play the most TFT out of us. And then B, is there anything like this that could be implemented in the League, and would we like to see it implemented in the League? Because there's a lot of discussion about this right now in the TFT community, where there's a handful of people, TFT is a very numbers game, that think this is bad because it will, A, make the game harder for newer players because you don't know it's good or bad, and then B, only reward people who will like go to their way to like watch like a ton of like TFT content and pros and get their opinions on a ton of stuff. And the idea they're doing it is that like before we had like these things in the mainstream all the time, you'd see different regions having different metas, right? Like different regions would be like, oh, this is the best augment to go. Oh, this is the best build to go. And now that it's becoming more and more popularized, like fucking you go to any TFT streamer, they have an add-on, right? Like to show them all the shit, right? And it just feels like it's becoming more of like a number crunched game. And this is hopefully going to, I guess, hide a little bit of that, which it's weird because like, fuck, could they just not balance it better? I think is like the biggest like anti-Riot decision here is like, couldn't you guys just balance the game better? So like, it doesn't matter like if we have these things, but I don't know, like I'm not enough into TFT to like really see the nuance, I guess.
It's tough. Cause like with as many augments as there are, there are definitely ones that are just like specifically very good or very bad for your comp. So right, like if I took one that like gave all of my units attack speed and I'm playing like a 2-mage carry with like a huge frontline, it's like that's not gonna do very much for me. Or like absolute worst case, it's like okay, I'm playing like, you know, one defensive trait and I get like the augment that gives me like a spatula for another one. It's like, oh, well, I'm playing defenders, but it gave me a bruiser. So I guess now I have bruiser 2. Like that's pretty useless. Or maybe I like still only have bruiser 1. You know, the times where these matter a lot more are in pretty comparable ones where it's like, you know, oh, do you like, you know, I'm playing an AP comp. Do I want the one that gives me like spell crit? Do I want the one that gives me more mana regen? Do I want the one that like lets my frontline last longer so that I can cast more spells? I don't think it's a problem like having those win rates available, but I also don't think it's super necessary. You know, I can see why they maybe want to take that away, like you were saying, to have it be a little bit less solved, but like, so much of TFT, when you look at those numbers, is like there's so many more factors behind what's happening there than you really account for. Like people will be like, oh, this win rate, you know, on this augment is really good, and it's like, well, actually it's only really good if you take it early, and if you take it as the third one, that goes down a lot. Or it's like you also have to have played the comp correctly up to that point or know how to play it with the augment, as opposed to like, you know, maybe your items change because of the augment you got. Like, and 90% of TFT players aren't doing that, especially the ones who rely on like a site to do everything for them or an add-on. So I think it's fine to keep it. I don't mind that they're taking it away, I guess. One thing that I would love to see Riot do is add a TFT practice tool.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of interactions in TFT and there's a lot of bugs also that like TFT is riddled with bugs. If you watch like any TFT streamer, you'll see a lot of that. And there's a lot of interactions where you just don't know how it works or how it's supposed to work. And the only way to test it is to go into a normal game and like try and parse out what's happening. Right, but it's like, if I could go into custom tool and say like, okay, I want Morgana on my board with these two augments against this champion, what happens? Right, and like, I think that that would be a really healthy way for people who want to get into like the nitty gritty of it to see like what is best. It's like, yeah, sure. Like, go into practice tool, build 2 8 character boards with like leveled up units and whatever items you want and whatever augments and like let them fight and see which one's better. And that's how you test which augment is best. But like the fact that there are so many bugs and like interactions that you're not sure how they work, like for example, one that was like really common the last set is there is a Lucian augment where it's like every time he casts his spell, you gain like experience. And for part of the set that worked during PvE rounds, and for part of the set it didn't.
What the?
And it's like, how do you know that? And at some point they like turned it off, and like, cause I know this specifically because like I had used it and had like leveled up during PvE rounds, and like, and then I was like watching a TFT streamer and they were asking like, hey, does this work in PvE? And I was like, yeah, 100% it does. and it didn't work on theirs. And I like went back in my VOD and I checked it from like 2 weeks prior and it did work. And there was nothing in the patch notes that said that they had changed it. So I don't know if it had just bugged or if they just decided to make that change without documenting it. And it's like, come on. Like if you play TFT seriously, you'd be like so upset with the level of like production quality and quality control.
Interesting. Yeah. That's kind of wild.
The last thing before we transition this into like how it could be seen in League would be I just wanted to mention that another thing they wanted to like really push was that before this was really popular, there'd be a lot more discussion about like what's the best stuff, and it created like a much more healthy environment versus like, oh, you're wrong because you went this and this one's a higher win rate sort of thing. Whereas like obviously like there's actually opinions because we didn't actually know that data. So I'm wondering like how this would actually be seen in League. Like do we want to see a world where maybe not like champion win rates, obviously, but like maybe like build win rates or I guess like what's more obscure, because like obviously it's not all of TFT's stuff, but I guess build win rates would be a thing, or rune win rates or
yeah, like runes and items would be like my first go-to thing, or
like matchups, like win rates, I guess.
Yeah, it I know it's hard because like this stuff has access to us now, so it's kind of difficult to kind of see the impact once it's gone. But I mean, I'm kind of down with just removing information and having people figure it out for themselves. I think that's a fine way to play the, or to like develop the game and have it be played. Like personally.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I would love to see build win rates gone. I think matchup win rates could stay in the game. I could see like stuff like duo bottom, like win rates, like being removed, but I use those things. I use matchup win rates and I use duo win rates a lot, but I also think like maybe it'd be good if I just like thought about like what could be good into their comp and stuff like that, or what could be good paired with like this character, or I could even just ask my teammate what he wants me to play with his character, right? Like even if it's not like the most optimal form of League of Legends, I think thinking about the game more or creating more discussion around stuff is just positive in general, right?
Yeah, I agree, and that's like sort of I guess why, like it's just not very fun, I think, to have an environment where everything can be looked up and you know, not having to go in and actually do the math or play the matchup is like the best way to do it, because you could just find someone else who's done it for you, I guess.
Yeah, it's one thing that I think is really like interesting is that, like, jumping back to TFT, it's a much, like, more finite game and much more solvable. And it's odd, like, obviously it's just because the player base is so much smaller, but, like, it's odd that nobody's, like, created a machine learning model and, like, an AI to play TFT, or at least not that I'm aware of. Because it should just be able to do it, like, infinitely better than, like, any player, right? Like,
yeah.
They can like perfectly calculate the odds of like, okay, I'm aware of every champion that's on everyone's board and their bench, so I know how many are in the pool and how many are like, you know, what the odds are at this level, and so like, you know, statistically, what is, you know, the probability I need to roll, you know, four times to hit my champion, you know, and like do all of that so much better. And I just find it funny that, like, I haven't seen any of that, and it's probably just because, again, it'd be a lot of work.
Yeah, it's probably like, just hard.
you could certainly have an add-on that, like, outside of, like, telling you, you know, what augments to take, you know, it's like, okay, make this item, make it now, put it on this character, and, like, position this here, and roll now, and level now, and, like, could just do all of that for you.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying, like, TFT is an easy game, but I do think it's a game that could just be solved, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but like, but in the same way that like chess is just a finite game, yep, that's very solvable, right? Where it's like, yeah, you're never going to be better than a computer that is actually, you know, at that level. And, you know, there's a lot more steps in TFT, but ultimately, right, like it can figure out all of those things.
Yeah, I always feel bad because like I do like sometimes act as if TFT is an easy game, which it's not. But it is a very solvable game, and I just hate how much information's in the game, like compared to like it feels like League isn't a solvable game, right? Because there's so many micro decisions that happen every second of the game. You're not making something that fucking auto wins league games unless it can like do stuff like script and shit like that, right? Whereas like TFT, yeah, similar to chess, like chess is fucking hard, man. Like I don't think anyone's arguing like chess is an easy game, but it is a solvable game, right? And I think there's some merit to like, if you like look stuff up while playing TFT, it feels like less of a video game than League of Legends.
Yeah, and I feel like there's also something to be said about in finite games like that. Like, a lot of the fun is trying to figure it out yourself.
Right? Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
It's not fun playing chess if every other move I'm just looking up what Stockfish is telling me to do and making that move instead of trying to, like, do it myself.
Yeah.
It's not fun playing TFT if instead of trying to, like, figure it out and build my own items, I just have a site telling me, roll now, build this item, put this character here. Like, I'm not playing the game anymore.
For sure.
And that's, I think, something that maybe gets away from some people in the pursuit of, like, doing everything right is, like, hey, you know, don't you want to play the game too? Or are you just going to let the program do it?
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's how I feel about people playing Earth. So.
True. Cool. Do you want to hop into the roundtable? That was a good discussion.
Yeah, we should.
Cool. Last week's question was, Riot just decides to remove the ability leveling rules, and you are now allowed to max an ability by level 5 instead of level 9. What champions are altered by this? What do you try? From our Twitter, NASA just says, I could see Jinx skipping points in abilities besides Q, but let's be honest, outside of a coordinated play where you can tailor team-wide strats to not mitigate having all spells, it would mostly result in skills maxed at 8, thus strengthening champions like Vlad. Yeah, I think that's kind of what we came down to, is like most characters would just like maybe not point a point in like or second point in one of their abilities before 9. But from our Discord, RyanVT12 says, turning your W to max, max to remove AD from your level 5 opponent. That is
funny.
Trin support might actually be played if that was the case. Like, as like a, it wouldn't be good, but it would be goofy.
It is goofy. It's wild how much AD. And like that W max trend used to be a very viable thing into top lane opponents where they'd be like, they'd have 100 AD and you're reducing their AD by like 85.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Cool. Next is from Casey Stranger. Says, I'm not 100% sure how good it is, but support Ashe with 4-second cooldown at rank 5 feels really dumb. Just got to the point and realized Colton has already had my idea. Brandon said, hear me out. Singed Q. You don't need to go do anything, but run around like a madman with proxy waves everywhere. Honestly, Singed wouldn't be
true.
Awful. Like, because you could just proxy and it wouldn't really matter anyway. Cool. And then Ejack said, insta max Urgot W. Sucks missing the early E level, but having a WB toggleable at level 5 or pre-level 9 would be pretty great. That is really funny. Cool. This week's question is, what are your goals for next split's ranked climb? Smiley face.
Interesting. I don't know if I've announced this on the show yet. I am going to be starting a new job in July, so I think it may, and I'm not sure how much time I'm gonna have to dedicate to climbing league, so I don't know. I'm hoping it's not my last like split that I'm able to progress a bunch and climb, but I'm finding it hard to identify where I could find the time to play as many games as I have.
When you're losing a work from home League of Legends day a week.
Yeah.
Well, cause I want to spend my free time doing free time with my significant other. So I want to spend my work time.
Yeah.
Understandable.
Cool.
So I guess for me, I would like to like hit diamond in significantly less games than it normally takes me, because it normally takes me quite a while.
Well, I feel like you hit diamond really fast, and then you hit master really fast, and then you also hit diamond again really fast.
Maybe this year I did that, but typically it takes me a while.
Gotcha.
To get out. Even this year it took me a minute, because I probably killed like 100 games playing like weird stuff, and then I just like one trick Jarvan for a bit and like shot to master. Which is why like Nyla is like my fifth most played character, is because I played a bunch of her when I was goofing around at the beginning of the season. But so like there's that, and then you know with our mid challenge, like that I am really interested to see where I end up. I think I'm like 99% sure I can like make it to diamond playing mid only. But I don't
feel like that's 100%. It's got to be, right?
Remember, it's going to be harder this year. In theory, bottom of diamond is like going to be top emerald. So,
But I'm hoping to be able to like hit D1, because like I've played mid in D1, but I don't know if I've ever like climbed to D1 with mid exclusively or like mid primary. And I feel like I like mid and top are the only roles that I like. I guess really haven't hit like master playing primarily.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be like a big goal for me. It's like if I can hit mid master playing like mid primarily, you know, that would at least a little bit to me justify like the stupid shit I do where I pick 100 characters a season and play every role.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Goals? Mine is I'm planning on playing. So it's weird. I think I'm going to play as much ranked, but I don't think I'm going to actually play as much main ranked, if that makes sense.
Okay.
I think there's no progression left is my issue. The gap between master and grandmaster is so fucking crazy. And then you also have to maintain it too, which is that's my biggest issue with like league right now. So I think I'm not done with ranked, but I'm very much not going to be like playing it until like end of season rewards time, where I'll still try to hit master. I still think I can consistently do that, but like fuck man, like the difference between me just like being able to get master in like 15-20 games and me trying to get grandmaster, which is another like 700 LP, is like actually insane. Like
yeah, it's hard. I kind of feel the same way. Like it almost feels like you've beaten like ranked, you know, because realistically like of the three of us, Aiden, I think you have the highest chance of being able to finish, you know, not master tier, but I guess we all could do it. It would just be like difficult. So like, what do you do at that point? Like,
yeah, I mean, like, I'm even in a scenario where it's like, it's like almost doable, right? Like, I still just don't play enough. But like that's just like I'm not gonna use that excuse. In reality, I could play more. But like I'm playing like I'll check the match history of my last game I just played. Here's the nine other players. 480 points, 200, mm-hmm. 600 grandmaster by the way, 450, 700, 350, 400, 450, 400. Mm-hmm. It's like man. So like in theory, if I just play and I maintain a 50% win rate, I will get to 450. LP, right? That's because that's the MMR I'm playing it, right? If I maintain 50% win rate, I might still have like even good gains at that point, but like I'm still 200 points away. Like
yeah
dude, it's so crazy man.
Yeah, it's just hard.
Reminder, it's dude hard. Fucking master zero LP is to rank one is the same LP difference as master zero LP to bronze three. And that's not fucking accounting the fact that, like, obviously, like, the higher up you get on the ladder, it exponentially gets harder. Dude, it's insane, man. I don't know. I don't know what they should do either. Like,
yeah, it almost feels like there should have been another rank between Master and Grandmaster. Or have Grandmaster just be, like, 500 LP. The cutoff is, the cutoff for Challenger would change, I guess. I don't know.
It's an unsolvable issue when you have like a capped thing, right? Like it will always be inflated somewhere. But fuck man, it is hard. It's just more demotivating, right? Like
you just have to play early in the season. So that way you're like, ah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, in theory, if I did this at the beginning of season, because Grandmaster opens at 300 LP, I want to say. Like if I was this LP right now, I'd be like 100 points away, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it just goes up and it goes up, but I don't know, who knows, maybe we'll hit another lucky streak. I did go from 0 to 200 points without losing a game, so maybe I can go from 200 to 400 without losing a game, and then I only need another 200 after that. Fuck, man, it's crazy. Anyways, that's not to be super sad, but I want to play like a lot of mid. I want to have a support account. I want to have an AD carry account. I want to have a jungle account. I want to play on all those, and then not get them to master tier, because I don't think I want to play enough to maintain master tier. But I can maintain like 4 games a month for like an account, I think, for a couple accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can let them drop if I'm bored as well. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. But
cool. If you want to tell us what your goals are for next split, you can hit us up on our Twitter at LeagueCast. You can send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. You can come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. Discord.gg/LeagueCast.
We're going to move into mail fight. It looks like we've got 3 this week. First is from Dr. Damage. Hey, LeagueCast crew, my name is Tyler, and this may be a fairly long email. Hope that's okay. I started listening to the podcast around January of this year, and I must say I really do enjoy listening to it. Around this time, I started listening when I started a new job. I work Monday to Friday with Tuesdays off, so I always look forward to listening when I get back to work on Wednesday. When I hear you guys talk about your league games throughout the week and your current ranks, I always wonder if I caught any of you in my ranked games with this session, being my peak of D2 as of Monday, June 19th. At times, I think about stopping, but when I played Clash, I went against a full challenger team with the streamer Dragoon. I don't know if you guys know who that is. And we got murdered and BM'd. Even with us getting completely dumpstered, I never felt more enlightened and more encouraged to get better and climb higher on ranked. Sorry for the long email. Love your guys' stream and don't give up the rank grind, from Dr. Damage.
So funny after we all just talk about fucking not wanting to play as much ranked. That is really funny, actually.
It is. Yeah. I think one like really like good point is that like after getting like crushed by players who are way better than you, like obviously it feels shitty in the moment, but also there's part of me at least who feels like this a lot, where it's like, damn, I want to play again, because like that's what good league looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, right?
There's definitely like a lot to learn when you're just getting your ass beat. You know,
mm-hmm. You're like, oh wait, things can go this smoothly when mm-hmm. you're ahead.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sucks that they like flamed you as they were winning. But
yeah, know. that is pretty cheeks.
Mm-hmm. I also like the like worrying about it being too long email when it's like 8 lines.
Yeah, it's definitely like a good sized one. It's not
keep
too long.
Keep it under a page and we're happy.
Yeah.
Thank you for the email, Dr. Damage. Good luck in your ranked climb, and maybe we'll even see you out there on the Rift.
Hell yeah.
Email is from Kevin. Hi gents, just wanted to add my thoughts in regards to the hostility towards TSM leaving LCS that seemed confusing to many. For full disclosure, I've been a fan of the LCS since its inception and have been a Cloud9 fan since they joined the org, so I am somewhat biased against TSM from a fan perspective. While I agree that people should be grateful to orgs like TSM, DIG, CLG, and the other OGs for what they have done to make the LCS happen and for building the fan base, it seems to me that TSM in particular, in no small part due to Reggie's leadership, have been very quick to turn their back on the scene that they claimed to have loved for so long. For longtime LCS viewers, we all remember the days of TSM dominance. You could never fully count them out of any split. Their tenacity and heart was a tough thing to overcome, and while I always rooted against them, I could not deny their talent and drive. However, mm-hmm. over the last couple years, TSM has been faltering. For me, this all began in the 2019 season when they made the claim that they would be fully behind Acadian as their starting jungler, only to reverse that decision about a week later. TSM, mainly Reggie, showed that he wasn't really someone who would be true to their word and stick behind their players. Several failed experiments later, including the disastrous Korean roster, it really feels like TSM have been trying to buy their way into another championship rather than actually develop any talent for the scene. The stories from players about how toxic an environment TSM was in comparison to the other orgs is startling. While many TSM fans are kind and decent people, there's a non-insubstantial part of them that are horribly negative to their own favorite team should they ever make a mistake. Reggie seemed determined to prove that he was smarter than the other owners by buying teams he believed would outperform his competition, even with a lower overall cost. Needless to say, he failed in this endeavor. Fast forward to now, where it seems like Reggie's stance is, if I can't automatically win LCS every year because we're TSM, I'll just go do it in another region. I understand the drive that he has to want to win, but even I, a TSM hater, believe that this is going to be bad for the health of the LCS. It's a storied organization turning their back on his fans and the region they help build. If TSM can leave, anyone can, which makes it a riskier proposition to sponsors. So if a team is going to make this kind of decision, I believe it's natural reaction for fans to have the response of, okay then, good riddance. Reggie and TSM might have shown their hand, and some longtime fans don't like it. I only hope that if they do go to the LPL, they won't end up making Worlds or MSI and trounce the LCS representatives of the talent that region has. Sorry for the long email, and have a wonderful day, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely understand, like, that perspective. I don't know, though. I feel like people have hated on TSM for a long time because they haven't found a lot of success, which, as a CLG fan, like, has definitely happened a ton. And it just feels like, it just feels so weird for that to be the case. Like, you're hating on a team because what they're trying isn't working, and it almost feels like no matter what they try, like, it doesn't really matter unless they win Worlds. Like, that's literally the only thing that you will get certain teams out of, like, the holes that they're in. So I don't know, I feel like it's a little strange to, like, hate TSM as much as a lot of people seem to. But also, you know, they are kind of digging the hole for themselves, so.
Yeah, like, I think it's maybe a little much, but I can definitely see where people are coming from. I think that, like, again, I'm not to make any excuses for Reggie. Not a person I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
But, like, it is tough to be TSM in that, like, most of the fan base, especially, like, those who were, like, their older fan base, came to a certain level of expectations where, like, if you're not winning two out of every three splits, you're failing as an org. Like, even if you go, like, 1-2-2, like, that is a disappointing, like, series of splits for TSM fans, which is insane. And, like, that's why they can't do anything internally, and why they have to, like, and why they're trying to, like, constantly flip around their roster to make something happen and make the Magic, like, get a fucking first place. And it's like, because if they get third with a roster that's steady, their fans are gonna flame them, which sucks, but, like, that's been the reality.
For sure.
Not to say that this is, I think, the right decision in response to that, but, like, I can definitely see why they have done, like, so much shifting and, like, oh, we're going to use this player. Oh, we're going to bench him. Oh, we're going to use this player. No, we're going to do this one. We're going to trade this. We're going to buy this roster. It's like, because literally, if they're not first place, like, if they're second place, their fans are going to be pissed at them.
But that's the case for, like, a lot of competitive things. And I think it's, like, starting to be realized in, you know, the LCS community that that's the case. But it's, yeah, I don't know. It's really weird to see it happen. Thank you, Kevin. Our last email is from Chad. Hello, hello, League casters. If the Male Fight theme song from last episode doesn't get sung, it will be ruinous to my day. I have no idea what it was. I have no memory. I remember us doing one, but I don't remember what it is. So, anyways, how do y'all deal with tilt while playing League? Being older than I was when I started playing, I can notice myself getting tilted and know to not be toxic and to just take a break, but I seem to get so tilted so quickly, and besides just having a better mental, I can't help but get so aggravated at times. How do you all manage it? Thanks, Chad. That's a very interesting one. Because I think it is really difficult for a lot of people to kind of recognize that they are tilted. So I guess the fact that you've already identified that is good. I think that for me, like, I think I also have noticed myself getting tilted more. But I also like to think of the game that you're playing as just, like, one part of the giant whole that you are playing throughout the entire season, right? Like, okay, if you get a like an Inter in one game and it costs you your promos, like, it can suck a lot. But it also is just one game over the course of the entire year. So I don't know. I think if you look at it through, like, through that lens, it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, like, so there's the, you know, like, decision-making framework that people use where it's like, how will I feel about something in like 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 years,
yeah,
or like whatever number, you know, you could do it with 2, 3, 8, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, trying to gain that perspective, and I think especially in league, like, that can really help. You know, it's tough to do in the moment, but it's like, whatever is upsetting me in this game currently, I will not remember 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's not even that I won't be upset about it. It's that I literally will have forgotten it. Like, mm-hmm. I cannot tell you who the last player is I reported and why, and I probably did it 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Because it just doesn't matter, and, like, you gotta move on. I mean, you know, obviously there's always the tips of, like, take a break between games, stand up, walk around, get some water, you know. If chat is what's tilting you, mute chat. You know, but as, like, a big picture thing, if, like, you're noticing yourself getting upset really quickly and, like, consistently, you know, try and reframe your attitude, right? It's just a game, and these things won't matter. Like, you could even maybe try, like, an exercise, right? Like, when you're feeling super tilted about what some person did, like, put it down on a sticky note, put it in an envelope, and, like, date it a month out, and then a month from then, try and remember, what was I mad about? Like, you know, the Kled ended his lane. Oh, no, you're not going to know what it was outside of maybe the fact that you, like, took the time to write the note.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know. It's very short term, and again, it's so easy to get caught up in it in the, like, scope of a game. But, you know, try to, at the very least, like, keep it contained within the game, and, like, you know, if it's ruining your whole day, maybe try and, like, take some more serious steps.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Cool. Did you have anything else to add?
No, that's about it. So thanks for the email, Chad. And I believe that was the last one, so we can start wrapping things up, Nick.
That was it. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you'd like to send us an email, submit at leaguecastpodcast.com. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/KingLardoutBlueBasket and LeagueCastFrost. On Twitter, we are LeagueCast. On Facebook, we are LeagueCast. Visit our website, leaguecastpodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/LeagueCast, and support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeagueCast. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.